Amen. Well, this morning, I just want to take a few moments. I'm not going to go long because every time I say that, I go for forever. But my plan is not to go long because I want us to go outside. I want us to celebrate Miss Erica as we get to baptize you. And I'm so excited about that. I know when we spoke yesterday, you were excited. So we want to spend some time just as a church celebrating this time with you. But it got me thinking, and if you guys have got your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at verses 18 through 21 in a minute. But it got me thinking, you know, we have this baptismal service that we're going to be doing a little bit this afternoon. Well, not this afternoon. I hope not this afternoon, because that means I've been preaching a long time. But in a little bit. And it got me thinking, baptism. And then it got me thinking, we have had so much rain. Anybody, I mean, do you guys realize how much rain has fallen over the last week? Like, it's ridiculous, you know? I mean, it's been crazy. And then, like, yesterday, we were watching a movie with the kids, and next thing you know, hail started coming down, and we kind of went out there. Becca got some hail on her hand and was like, hey, look at this. And Josie's like, oh, that looks good. Grab some, ate it, because that's what she does. So bless her. But just in my thinking, in just preparing for this in my prayer, I was wanting to kind of incorporate a little bit of, you know, just talking about baptism a little bit as we're going to be doing that a little bit later on. But it got me thinking about the rain and how thankful I am that, that what happened with Noah, that God isn't going to flood us out again. Praise Lord. I don't know if anybody else is excited about that, but I'm super excited that that's not going to happen. But it got me thinking between the two things, and so I'm just titling this sermon, Baptism and the Ark. Now, you may go, okay, we understand with baptism, you kind of go down in the water, you come on up, and it's a sign of new life, and just, you know, a public confession of saying that the old is gone, the new is here, and when the Ark happened, God sent a flood, and people died, you know, because of rain. So just bear with me, because I think, though, that there is four things that I looked at that from the story of what happened with Noah that can really incorporate us as Christ followers and also in with why we do baptism as well. And I think also Peter saw this kind of connection as well. And so if you would like to stand with me, we're going to read first Peter. Looking at chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Now, just so you guys know, Peter is writing to the church. And as he's writing the church, it's to encourage the church. The church here was aware that there was persecution. Most likely persecution was going to be coming. Some had already been persecuted. And so 1 Peter is just a book of encouragement, really, to the church. But he says, reading from the ESV, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteousness, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal from dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is there at the right hand of the Father with the angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this this time together this morning. And Lord, I just pray for these few moments as we look at just what happened with Noah, Lord, and just being able to celebrate baptism, God, that you will speak to us in a new way. Father, that you will just really engage us in what it's like to be a Christ follower. And Lord, we pray now that you open up our hearts and ears to listen and receive to what you've got to say to us this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, as I said, I want to talk a little bit about Noah. Now, here Peter is encouraging the church, but he mentions Noah. He mentions baptism. And it just got me thinking. There's some other stuff in there that we're not going to kind of delve into too much, but I was just reading this. I thought it was really interesting that he made this comparison between Noah, and he safely brought these eight people through, and how it corresponds then with baptism. And so it got me thinking about the ark, and we know the story, don't we, about Noah, that the story is... As we know from the Bible, that the earth was pretty messed up. And there was just a lot of corrupt stuff going on. There was just a lot of craziness. And so God said to Noah, he said, Noah, I need you to build an ark. So Noah, I think at this point in his life, I think if I'm right in saying, was how old was he? He was about 600. Okay? So it's pretty old. Okay, so he was about 600 years old. God says to him, build an ark. So Noah builds himself an ark. Takes a little while to build the ark, and eventually this storm comes, and they'll get in the ark. God shuts the door. The floods come, and it wipes out everything that's in the earth. And it got me just thinking, because the first thing that I noticed about what Noah went through is that there was salvation from sin. The first thing is that there was salvation from death. Because after creation was just such a mess, there was so much crazy stuff going on that God said, enough is enough. We got to hit that reset button in some respects. Enough is enough. And so Noah was asked to build this boat. And I thought it was interesting because if I remember rightly, Erica, when you came up and gave your life to the Lord, I was speaking on lifeboats, correct? Cutting your lifeboats off. And now I'm talking about a boat that you're meant to get on, okay? So make sure that we know that there is just to confuse you even more. But I thought it was really interesting just the come around. But there, Noah was asked to build this boat. And so he builds this boat, but it was for safety. It was to save him from the death that was going to come from this big old flood. And it's interesting because Tim even mentioned this morning. And I have it in my notes here. I did not see Tim's notes, but there's two sets of people. Remember what Tim said? Two sets of people. You're kind of either saved or unsaved. And really, in Noah, there was two sets of people. The people that's going to get on the boat, the safety boat, or there's people that's not going to get on the boat. And if you get on the boat, there's life. But if you don't get on the boat, there's death. And you see, even today, God made a way. Salvation, he made that way to get away from death. And so Peter recalls here that there is a terrible judgment that happened, but that eight people got saved. God also waited patiently, though, for Noah to build this boat. He waited patiently. You know, I think that they say it probably took around 75 years for Noah to complete this project. 75 years of him building this boat. But why? Because he was building a boat to save him and his family because God told him to. The same way for us, as Christ followers, God saved us from death through Jesus Christ. We've just celebrated Easter. You know, and as we celebrated Easter, it was the celebration that Jesus came, died on that cross, rose 3 days later so he could make a way for us to be with him. Amen. We should get excited about that. We should get excited and see, you know, I look at them, the baptism, and it's just a public showing of saying, hey, I died with Christ and I'm rising up again. I recognize that Jesus died for me so that I could be safe from death. That God made a way. That God made a way. He made a way through Jesus. And so that's just a one sign of a baptism, is just saying the old is gone, the new is here. But God, I'm so thankful that you saved me. Amen. Second thing I noticed was that there was water on the outside, but there was cleansing on the inside. Okay? It was water on the outside of the ark, but there was cleansing on the inside. Peter wants us to understand it's not the water baptism that makes us clean. Baptism isn't a bath to get rid of the dirt or anything like that, okay? We don't go, because if that was the case, I don't know about you, but I would probably have to get baptized every day, all right? You know, I'm not trying to proclaim that I am perfect because I am not Jesus, okay? So baptism isn't a form of saying, okay, God, you know, forgive me and I have to go outside and get baptized. No, Acts 22 verse 16 says, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And you see, and then he goes on in Titus, verses 3 and 5, and says he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and by the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is an inner washing that happens to us when we cross over, when we basically say to God, hey, come into my life. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. But have you ever been in just so dirty and so nasty that you just have to have a good old clean shower? Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no better feeling, if you ask me, than once you kind of, you've been doing work, whatever, and you're just like, oh man, nice clean shower, you feel good, and then the kids come out and make you messy again. And but, you know, but it's not the removal of dirt from the flesh that we sometimes need. It's that we need a clean conscience, and the more, and so I need my sins, to be washed away, and I need to be made holy. And so even with the ark, you know, God was cleaning away the bad stuff through the flood. But also what he was doing was he knew that Noah was a good, faithful man. He knew that he was a good, faithful man. And so through baptism, we obviously are showing a sign of being brought up, but you're a new creation. The old is gone. The old is gone. When you accepted Christ into your life, that old way of life is gone. You know, the Bible even talks about being that you are a new creation. So in God's eyes, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. Which leads me into my third point, which is that the third point is then we break away from our past life. You see, with Noah, you have this crazy earth that's going on with these crazy people, and God sent this flood. But think about Noah in this situation. He gets on the boat. Suddenly, after the floods come down, life's now changed. Life is different. Life is no longer how he knew it. One, he has to kind of repopulate. He has to help grow everything back up. He's got a bunch of animals on his boat. But even if you look at it, that he stepped onto the boat and he was leaving the past behind. He was leaving the past behind. He was leaving behind the world that he knew. And he was entering into a new covenant, really, is what God says to Noah. But he enters into his new relationship with God, and he has to be completely dependent upon God. That he was also taking his family with him. So he had to make sure that he trusted God completely. But then when he came out the other side, life would be then very, very different. And so once again, Peter uses this story for a reason. Baptism is a very tangible event that marks an important change in our life. And it's a break from the past, a time when we surrender our futures to God. And when we come out the other side of this event, life is different. I don't know if any of you remember when you were baptized, but there was just something for me when I was baptized special about that moment. Special about that moment. Church that I was in England, that was where I got baptized, and it was down by the river. I grew up in the Methodist circuit, so my grandfather they did their child baptism when I was a kid, but, you know, later on when I was a teenager, I did it properly. And so, but I went to the river, and it was called the River Stour. I'm sure it's going to be a lot colder than even out here because it's in England. But I remember, and there was something special, because it was, again, just reminded even myself that it was a break from my past. The junk that I had done, it was a break from it. Because God had come into my life. He had made me a new creation. You see that in Romans chapter 6, Paul says in verse 4, that we were buried therefore with him by baptizing into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. See, the ark serves as a reminder to all of us that we will all one day die. Okay, that's is fact, you know. And the fact is that when we physically die, in a sense, we're just catching up, though, with our baptism. Okay? We're just catching up with it. It's a reminder to us that if we're going to cross over from death into life, that we must die. But when you are buried with Jesus, it marks the beginning of a brand new life in Jesus. Amen? A brand new life. It gets me excited. And then my fourth point that I got was just that Noah had assurances of God from God on his terms. If we look at the story of Noah here, Genesis chapter 6, and says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, and then we go on a little bit further. He says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth was, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh, and corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And then he goes on and tells them all about the ark. And so later on then, God promises then this covenant with him. He promises this covenant. And you see, think about Noah, okay? Think about him. He's this guy that walks with God. Everybody probably thinks he's this crazy man. God's told him, build an ark. He builds this massive boat, takes several years to build. Can you imagine the ridicule, the people coming up to him and saying, man, you're crazy. Look, I can't see no rain. You're going crazy. Can you think in his terms, he's probably going, God, really, did I hear right? Am I meant to be doing this? Am I meant to be doing this? How many times in our life are we the same way? How many times that God has said, hey, I promise you this? Or how many times do we look at God's word and say, hey, it's a promise in here, so it's a promise for me, but God, are you sure? Oh, that was just for those times. It's not for me now. But I look at Noah and I realize that he understood that he had assurances from God. And if he had assurances from God, he knew, hey, I can keep doing what I'm doing because God's promised me it. I don't have to worry. God, you promised that the flood's going to come. I'm just preparing the way. Just preparing myself. He was bringing this flood, and so then God told Noah the details of how to build this ark, the way of the dimensions and everything like that. And again, remember, Peter here is trying to give assurance to the church. In the same way that this morning I want to give you assurances in the church. To know that there are times when maybe, yeah, we're going to suffer. There's times when we're going to have questions. There's times when we may have, just get so frustrated. But you can look at when you got baptized, if you've been baptized. But you can look at that moment and go, God made promises. And he's going to keep those promises. Why? Because he's your dad. He's your father. And he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Now, it's not saying that we get everything we want. That's not saying if I say, oh, God, I need me $1 million, and, you know, we name it and claim it. That's not what it's about. God gives us what we need. Sometimes, though, what we think we need isn't what God knows is best for us. Like Tim said, you know, it's a yes, no, or maybe. They're your three, not maybe, sorry, or in time, sorry. Maybe, good grief, Chris. Slap me. But no, it's either yes, no, or in my time. And so many times in my walk with God, it's been in my time. In Noah, it took several years for that flood to come. He just had to keep building. He had to keep putting, you know, planks of wood, small time at a time, before he made this big ark. And so I look at Noah and I look at baptism and realize that it is a promise of God that we can look at and we can be reminded of when we go through those times where we're not sure what is going on. We can look at this time when we get baptized and say, God, you're faithful. You brought me out of that miry clay. You brought me out of the pit. And you can remember that day. How many of you can remember that day that you were baptized? Amen. But when you go through tough trials, I want to encourage you, remember that day when you got baptized. Remember. And Roger, you said that you got baptized in Israel, didn't you? So that's... Awesome, you know, and so that's a neat, I would love to have got baptized in the Jordan River. If I go back over there, I might just do it just for fun, you know, but, you know, we've each got our own individual story. We can each remember when it happened, but what happens to me, I don't know if it happens to you, but we tend to not trust God in certain situations, do we? We don't trust God. Noah, bless him, trusted God. Peter here was trusting God in the situation that he was going through and trying to encourage the church. But too many times we unfortunately back out in the trust. Now I'll tell you a story that, you know, if I tell you this, you've got to keep it a secret though, okay? And please make sure that the doors are shut so my kids don't hear. You guys promise me you keep this secret, all right? Well, we're planning on taking the kids to Disney in September, okay? Now, they're not knowing about it. We're going to surprise them, okay? And we're nearly paid up. We've been planning this for about a year and a half now. And so anyway, but this beginning of this week, we have a travel agent that we've booked everything through. Well, our travel agent lady is away on vacation this week. And lo and behold, on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, Becca wakes me up shaking me. She goes, hey, Disney's got free dining from when we're going. I'm like, really? So I've been giving this other lady's details to, you know, if anything came up and we needed to change anything on our reservation. And so I emailed this lady and I'm like, hey, free Disney diners coming up. And she messaged me back saying, yeah, the phone lines are jam-packed. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it for you. It's crazy. Apparently, free dining everybody wants. And it just coincided for when we were going. And so I'm emailing her back and forth. I'm probably even winding her up a little bit because, you know, I'm so like eager. I need to get this Disney dining. And she said, right now, my computer is down. They won't let me in. And phone lines are so busy that you won't even go to the, like, in, you know, like busy. It just won't even go through. So I think that I know better. So I look online and I'm like, well, I can get it online. It's not at the reservation that I wanted. But so I messaged her back and said, hey, and she goes, well, I mean, we've already paid near enough the whole vacation off. And anyway, I'm making a short story very long right now. But so I go online and I decide, well, she said, well, if you can get it, then maybe you book it and then we'll transfer it over. But anyway, so I go, well, Becker, it's going to cost a little bit more, but let's do it this way. So I put the deposit down, do everything, and, you know. And so next day, the travel agent lady messaged me back. She goes, hey, I've got your free dining in the venue that you're in. And she got it like $600 cheaper than what I had gone online and done. And so I had to cancel that. And Becker went, you just needed to be patient. And you needed to trust your travel agent. And I went, yeah, you're probably right on that. And so, praise the Lord, it didn't, you know, cost me anything, and we actually saved money. But I thought it was a prime example of just me. I didn't trust what she was doing, even though that's what she's paid to do. You know what I'm saying? She's paid to be a travel agent, you know, and she knows a lot more about this than I do. But yeah, I felt like, no, I can do it my way. And when I did it my way, I realized that, one, it would have cost a lot more money. Second of all, thankfully, I got my deposit back, because if not, I would have been $200 short. And anyway, we won't even go there. But how many times do we do that in our Christian walk? How many times do we go, God, I need you to speed this up for me because I'm impatient. I want it now. And then what happens is God's going, no, I need you to be patient. So we go, okay, I'm going to do it on my own. And lo and behold, it don't walk out so great. But the great thing about it is, kind of like my travel agent, she fixed it all for me. She got it all good. I didn't lose any money. And I'm actually saving myself. I think we worked out nearly $1,000. Praise Jesus. That is awesome. I can get excited about that. You know? But, and we get more for, anyway, we get more stuff. It's weird. I don't know. Anyway, we won't go there. But it's the same thing with God. Sometimes we just have to be patient with God in the same way that Noah, as I said, I think it took him, what did I have in my notes here? 75 years to build this boat. 75 years of waiting, 75 years of people probably telling him, you are crazy. But yet Noah went, no, God's told me. And so we're going to do it. And so as we kind of come to an end, I just want to encourage you all. Look back when you got baptized and be thankful for your salvation that God saved you from death. Be thankful that God has cleaned us on the inside. You know, we talked a little bit last week, Sunday evening, about sanctification, and Tim mentioned it this morning as well, but, you know, we believe in the assembly that being sanctified is a process that happens when you get saved, but is an ongoing process of just cleaning away, making sure that we are holy in God's sight. We look back on our baptism and say, you know what? My past life is that. It is of the past. And we move forward. And we can look at our baptism and say that we have assurances because God has made promises to us. God has made promises for us. We can look now and we see a rainbow. And that was God's covenant. If we look just real quickly, and I'm going to close on this, because in Genesis chapter 9 says, where are we going to pick up? At verse 12, and God, verse 11, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. How cool is that? That God wants us to remind us. You know, people can find out the scientific stuff about a rainbow, and that's great, okay? But that's God's sign. It's God's sign. And in the same way, I think that for me, I look back at my baptism and just realize that that's just God's sign to me of saying, hey, I was a messed up sinner. He saved me. Like Paul said in Romans, we at that point of just the public declaration of just saying, hey, the old life is gone. The new is here. God washed my sins away. I can remind myself of the promise that God made through what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Amen. And so I just want to encourage us all to remember and look back to move forward. Amen. And as we get ready in just a few short moments to celebrate this time with Miss Erica, as we get to go out behind the church here, even as you walk down, start remembering when you were baptized. And start giving God all the glory and all the praise. And if you haven't been baptized and you go, well, Pastor, I kind of want to get baptized. Well, we're going in the river. You can join us. You may not have got a spare clothes, but that's okay. I'm sure we can find some towels somewhere. Okay, I live next door. We can put you in a nice soccer jersey or something, you know. it's all good. Or if you want to get baptized on another day, we've now got the back end here all cleaned up. And so we want to encourage you. And maybe you want to re-baptize yourself. You know, maybe you just kind of fell away and you want to get back. Then that's okay. All right. But the interesting thing for me is I preached a couple of months ago on the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says, therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's exciting for me when we see that happen. Again, we would love to see every service a million people get saved, but I'm big on discipleship. And so when I saw Miss Erica come up, you know, a few weeks ago and come to know Jesus, I was excited. But I'm more excited about now baptizing you because it's a sign of God just working through you. And we want to help you out. And in the same way, I know that, you know, some other people get saved. And Erica, you're going to be able to help them out. And that's part of it. I honestly, it breaks my heart so much when people come to know Jesus and then there is no discipleship and they just fall away in the cracks. And so that's why I'm so big on discipleship. That's why I'm so big on encouraging you guys and myself to make sure that we help each other out. We hold each other accountable. Amen? Because I don't want to see anybody lost and going to hell. I want us to be partying with Jesus, if we want to call it that way, in heaven. Amen? I'm going to just end in a word of prayer. And if you want prayer for anything, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, we'd love to pray with you. And so I'm going to pray, and but let us just pray. And if you need prayer for anything, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you. Kevin, can you just play something on the piano for me, just real quick? You don't have to even have a song. You can just play in the background. Just give a few people a chance if you want prayer for anything, or if you even want to know Jesus for the first time. We just want to make just a few moments just to be able to seek God's face out, and then we'll head out down the river, okay? And so let's just close our eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, Lord. We thank you for this day that we get to celebrate just who you are, be reminded of what the promises that you've made over our lives, God. And Father, we thank you that we can look back at Noah's story here and be reminded of just the promises that you have made for us, Lord. We can learn from it. And so, Father, we just pray now, God, that if there is anybody that is in need of anything, God, in anything, Lord, that you'll bring healing upon their body. Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as the Lord and Savior, we just pray that you will just maybe convict their heart, God. Encourage them to step out and walk in the knowledge of knowing who you are, that you are their loving Father, and that it's life is just so much better when you're with us, God. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and move over us. In Jesus' name we pray.